taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American. It's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're fact-checking the fact-checkers here. Of course, the first fact-check was about abortion being available up until or even after birth, but that, of course, is undeniably true. In fact, Vice President nominee Tim Walz removed born-alive abortion reporting requirements as Democrats' media outlets accuse former President Trump of dramatizing the Democratic abortion agenda. Data from the Minnesota Department of Health shows that at least eight babies who survived abortions in the state were then left to die. Execution, like Donald Trump was saying in his debate. Under 2015 Minnesota law, the state formally was required to report whether abortions resulted in the live birth of a baby, what actions were taken to preserve the life of that baby, and whether the baby survived. Those reporting requirements exposed that between January 1st and December 31st of 2021, physicians performed five abortions that resulted in a baby's live birth. No measures were taken to help the first baby, who reportedly had fetal anomalies that resulted in death shortly after the delivery. Two of the babies were given comfort care measures as they died. No measures were taken to preserve life of the last two babies who were pre-viable. So not only is it legal, it's actually happened multiple times. And since then, Tim Walz has removed reporting requirements. So those are the ones that we know of because the reporting requirements were in place. He removed them. We don't know how many more babies have been just allowed to expire on a cold counter as they struggle for life in their first few moments. But so there you go. Fact checking that fact check. And then, of course, Springfield, Ohio. No credible reports of specific claims, despite the fact that there are infinite numbers of reports of claims. I mean, this is obvious. We talked about it before. You typically don't call the police if your cat goes missing. That's not normally a police matter, even if you suspect that your neighbor may have done something. That's just not, you're not probably going to call anybody. Even though we do have phone, even though we did just show you a 911 call of that exact claim. But regardless, they say that's fake. The next claim they make, David Muir says, President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is coming down in this country. And of course, Trump brought up in, again, vague terms. And again, it's not like he's wrong. And I don't know, maybe I'm nitpicking here, but you know, he's like, those reports are lies. That's a hoax. That's nonsense. He's like, the biggest cities didn't report their numbers. That's a fake number. And it's like, yes, that is accurate. He's being truthful. That is the case. We have story after story illustrating that. But to the average person who doesn't know that, who still trusts the FBI and think that they're a credible source, just saying, actually, that's a lie, is just not convincing. This is where specifics are necessary, and they were utterly lacking in the debate. And he just should have had, even just naming the cities, just going, well, those FBI numbers don't include New York City or Los Angeles or New Orleans, which are some of the most crime-ridden cities in the country. So how can you say crime's going down when you aren't including major metropolitan areas in those numbers? I wish he had been a little bit more specific. Yeah, I think that's Axios, right? Or four reasons why we should worry about missing crime data. The FBI's crime is still incomplete and politicians are taking advantage. From The Independent, FBI says crime has plummeted to start 2024, but is missing a big part of the data. Data informing FBI's figures is applied voluntarily by law enforcement agencies across the U.S. and do not include major metropolitan areas, including Los Angeles and New York, where crime is historically high. Again, from The Independent, mainstream media outlet. But you could also go to Fox News. Public Safety Group finds FBI violent crime data is higher than initially reported. A new report claims violent crimes are significantly underreported and FBI crime classifications have changed. So it's a deceit. It's a deception. Yet another fact check. Fact checked. We'll get back to this on the other side. I'll put out the phone number for your calls. So I want to hear what you thought about the debate. Am I being too nitpicky? Were you also perhaps a little disappointed in the showing from Trump? I mean, most people are saying it was like a 50-50. I just don't think it moved the needle whatsoever. I think you believe what you believed when you went in.
At InfoWarsMD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. You know, we're just talking about the overt bias that we saw from the ABC moderators last night in the debate. We're fact-checking the fact-checkers. We've sort of been through the more concrete fact-checking that, you know, is just obviously false. But some of the rest are more, a little bit more vague, but really just show the bias more than anything else. So like the next one that is listed by Breitbart in this list of seven times Trump was fact-checked. David Muir says, the question was about you as president, not about former Speaker Pelosi, but I do want Vice President Harris to respond here. So, you know, this was another one of these questions that was asked of Trump about January 6th. Which it's amazing how, you know, Democrats can latch onto things, just bring them up over and over in this accusatory way when it's, you know, they'd never do it for the other side. And it's not so much overt bias as much as it is an implicit, subtle bias in the framing of the question. And, you know, Donald Trump says, it's not my fault January 6th happened. I tried to get soldiers there. I told them that they needed more security. It was Nancy Pelosi's job to secure the Capitol, and she didn't do it. She's on tape saying that. And they, I guess, fact-checked this by saying, well, the question was about former Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Insinuating that Trump is trying to distract people when really he's just answering the question about January 6th. What happened on January 6th? Well, there was a million people showing up to Washington, D.C. Everybody knew it, and they deliberately withheld security from the Capitol to allow this to happen. Now, I would have gone even farther, and I would have said, look, it's been a long time since January 6th. A lot of new information has come out about it. Most of what they said are lies. Look at the, you know, show trial they put on, the kangaroo court they put on, where they had people saying I was trying to steal the presidential limo from Secret Service. I mean, the claims they made were absurd. And if it was me, I would have said, look, this was a totally peaceful, totally, you know, unarmed and well-behaved crowd until police fired tear gas and rubber bullets into the peaceful crowd. It wasn't my crowd that started it. It was the Capitol Police that started the events on January 6th. If they hadn't fired tear gas and rubber bullets into a peaceful crowd, nothing would have happened. It was the police that started that chaos. It was the police that, you know, failed to be there. And the vast majority of people who have now been arrested and imprisoned for this are innocent people who did absolutely nothing wrong, including being led in a tour by the Capitol Police, only to be put in solitary confinement for months on end. That's sick. It's wrong. It's abusive. And they bragged about it. But again, it's not even so much as a fact check as they just are like, oh, we don't want you to talk about that. We don't want you to blame it on Nancy Pelosi, so don't. It's like, okay, but it was her fault, though, definitely, obviously, and self-admittedly. David Muir then said, I did watch all of those pieces of videos. I didn't detect the sarcasm, lost by a whisker. We didn't quite make it, and we should point out as a clarification, you know this, you and your allies, 60 cases in front of many judges. So this was Trump, you know, talking about winning the election or losing the election. And the claim, the fact check they're making here is 60 cases in front of many judges. This is just one of those things they just say. They just say this and they say it over and over, and it's just not remotely true. Not a single case brought in front of any judge ever presented evidence ever. Not a single case was allowed to go to trial. Not a single case was even heard by a judge. So the way they frame this is as if 60 cases were brought before judges, the evidence was laid out, and the judges decided, no, there was no voter fraud. That never happened, not once. Not a single case was actually brought in front of a judge. Not a single case was argued. Not a single piece of evidence was actually presented in a court of law. Never once. What happened was 50-plus times, maybe 60, the cases were dismissed before they were ever brought. They were not allowed to be brought. And the investigations into voter fraud were shut down by the DOJ, even though there was plenty of evidence there. And in fact, high-level, top-level prosecutors in states like Pennsylvania quit their jobs, resigned in protest for not being allowed to investigate what they knew to be credible and verifiable claims of voter fraud. But they lie. But they just lie. So people don't know this. And you can even see this in their own fact-checking articles. Like, this is a fact-check article from Reuters. Courts have dismissed multiple lawsuits of alleged electoral fraud presented by the Trump campaign. They say that this Facebook post says not one court has looked at the evidence that Biden legally won. Not one. This is false. State and federal judges dismissed more than 50 lawsuits presented by then President Donald Trump and his allies challenging election or its outcome. The judges dismissed them. They never heard them. They never looked at the evidence. It was never allowed to be presented. That doesn't mean that the evidence wasn't there or that the claims were false. It means it wasn't tried. Okay. I can't say I've been exonerated for murder if I'm never brought to trial for it. That's not what that means. You know, if Alex Jones says, I own a cat, I can say with full certainty there is no evidence that Alex Jones owns a cat. There's not been one proven case in court that Alex, well, maybe that's not. Oh, wait. Alex Jones's cat was brought up in court, so there is actually verifiable evidence of that. Say Alex Jones, there's no proof he has a red car because that has never been presented to a court. It's like, that's not, you know, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. This never went to trial. The claims were never even investigated. Those that tried to investigate them were shut down by the DOJ and resigned in protest. Top prosecutor quits after Barr election fraud order. This from November 10th, 2020, immediately after the election. He was already shutting it down. Justice Department's top election crimes prosecutor resigned Monday in protest after Attorney General William Barr told federal prosecutors they should examine allegations of voting irregularities before states move to certify in the coming weeks. I'm sorry, this might be a different one. Barr shoots down former prosecutor's election fraud claims. In an interview, the former attorney general rejected pro-Trump former U.S. attorney's allegations that the Justice Department stifled vote tampering investigations. So this is like the head prosecutor of Pennsylvania was looking into credible claims made under oath of, you know, people driving trucks full of mail-in ballots saying the chain of custody was broken. I delivered the votes like I was supposed to, but then the truck disappeared and I don't know who took it. And you know, I realized that, wait, I'm transferring a bunch of mail-in ballots from New York to Pennsylvania in the last, you know, final hours. This is kind of absurd. The top prosecutor of Pennsylvania was investigating this. William Barr apparently like yelled and cursed at him, like called him up and was like, do not investigate this. This is our prerogative. We're investigating it. You're not allowed to. And I said, okay, that's all right. That's fine. And then nothing ever came of it. No investigation was ever actually done. And it was completely shut down from the beginning. So no, this has not been tried 50 times and every single time proven to be false. It has never been tried once. No case has ever been presented in front of a judge. They were all dismissed out of hand without ever even looking at the evidence. Just so we're clear, it's totally fraudulent. Okay, fact checked. David Muir then says, Mr. President, thank you, Vice President Harris. You heard the president here tonight. He said he didn't say he lost by a whisker, so he still believes he did not lose the election. Was that won by President Biden? That was won by President Biden and yourself. So I don't even know what the fact check here is. I guess they're fact checking Trump's beliefs. which is kind of absurd. He said he didn't say he lost by a whisker. Look, the fact is he didn't lose. The fact is the evidence of voter fraud is overwhelming. And they use these same weasel words, right? No credible reports of specific claims. It's that type of rhetoric that surrounds all of this as well. There's no credible claims of widespread voter fraud, expecting you to think that, like, for voter fraud to exist, it needs to exist in every county across the country, and that's the only way an election could be stolen. No, an election can be stolen by rigging one metropolitan area in five different states. Those five different states all had massive, bizarre anomalies, including shutting down the vote in the middle of the night, only for the outcome to be reversed by the morning. In Georgia, of course, the supposedly broken water leaks. I mean, it just goes, it goes on and on and on. And of course, the biggest falsifiable claim about all of this, and they actually say it in the Reuters report, and just the most blatant dishonesty perhaps ever in American history. And I'm not even exaggerating, like, this claim, because what they say is that this was the most secure election in American history. The most secure election in American history. So when they make such a overwrought and a broad statement, the lie is that overwrought and broad. There's absolutely no way in hell that could have been the most secure election in history. It was the first election where you had massive deployment of mail-in ballots and drop boxes and unverifiable signatures and just boxes of ballots showing up in ditches and at apartment buildings with 25 ballots for one apartment. I mean, it goes on and on. It would be at least respectable if they were like, look, there were some issues, but overall, we got the right answer, right? Sure, there was maybe not fraud, but some mistakes, and there was some difficulty in the process because we instituted a brand new, unsecure system that, you know, we didn't have any way of verifying the chain of custody. So, you know, there may have been some fuzziness, some uncertainty here or there, but at the end of the day, we are certain that this election result was accurate. They don't say that. They say it was the most secure election ever, which has to be a lie. Is 100% absurd for them to make that claim. So the rest of their claims can be seen as absurd as well. Should be and are. They're absurd. Finally, we have David Muir saying, President Trump, thank you. You did bring up something. You said she went to negotiate with Vladimir Putin. Vice President Harris, have you ever met Vladimir Putin? Can you clarify tonight? So this was a very, very good move by ABC to counteract a very brilliant move by Donald Trump that Kamala Harris completely set herself up for. She gives a statement where she brags about going to Ukraine 3 days before the invasion. And Trump's like, they sent her there and 3 days later they invaded. That's the weakness that we're dealing with. That's the weakness. And he says, you know, they sent her as the negotiator for to negotiate with Vladimir Putin. That was Anthony Blinken, actually, that they sent to do that. And it was like a week before the invasion happened. It was Anthony Blinken's last chance to snag peace from the outbreak of war. And they totally failed. But it was a great point by Trump. It made Harris look like an idiot. She's saying they're going, I was there 3 days before the invasion. I'm so brave. And he's like, okay, so you went there to try to stop the war and 3 days later they invaded? That's pathetic. And she's like, no, that's not what I said. It's like, no, it's exactly what you just said. It was a winning point for Trump that then ABC threw cold water on by going, you just said that you negotiated with Vladimir Putin. Have you ever met Vladimir Putin? Knowing full well that she's never met Vladimir Putin. And thank God that she's not the person negotiating, because as bad as things are, they'd be significantly worse with somebody like her at the helm. Although I don't know if that's even possible. I mean, you got Anthony Blinken just failing utterly to achieve any of his diplomatic goals ever the entire time he's been in office, which is something that, again, Trump should have brought up. And the weird thing about so many of the statements from the debate were that they were phrased as speculative when they aren't speculative. Like, Trump and Kamala both kind of did this, but again, I blame Trump more for it, saying like, that never would have happened if I had been in charge. It's like, no, Trump, you were in charge and it didn't happen. Why would you Why phrase it speculatively? Like, why phrase it as a, as like something that could have had, like, if I'd been president, that would have never happened. It's like, no, I was president and that didn't happen while I was president. It's that's a nitpick, I guess, but that was one of the frustrating things that frustrated me about Trump's answers to some of the, you know, geopolitical questions, is like, he really never hammered home, like, I started no new wars. I got the Afghan withdrawal in motion. You would have never been able to withdraw if I hadn't, you know, done that. And then Kamala Harris is like, there's not a single soldier in an active war zone. I saw a meme where it's like, you know, the face of all of the soldiers currently deployed in war zones. And so I'm just like, what? That's kind of disrespectful. You're sitting there in Syria or, you know, helping out with Israel and Gaza, or just off the coast of Israel, or just off the coast of Iran in the Red Sea, or being bombed by drones in Iraq. And Kamala Harris is like, no, you don't exist. No, you don't exist. And I'm going to pretend that everything's fine. Yeah, everything's not fine. And Trump should have really hammered that home. But again, it was like both of them were acting as if Trump had never been president and as if Kamala had never been president. It's this weird thing where it's like, she's talking about him being a dictator. Why was his response not like, I was president for 4 years? What are you talking about? Like, what did I do back then? You're saying I'm going to do all this stuff. I didn't do any of that. I had the chance and I didn't do it because I don't want to do it. So what are you speculating about? I think it's absurd. I think the whole thing was absurd and frustrating personally, but I want your takes on it. I'm going to give out the phone number now. Take your calls throughout this hour. We'll be joined by Stella Emanuel, Dr. Stella Emanuel, I should say, in the third hour. In the meantime, give us a call, 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. And while we take your calls in, I want to go to what many people agree was Trump's finest part of the debate, his closing statement. Here's clip number 6, Trump's closing statement, making the case for electing him and ousting the current failed regime. Let's watch.
She's done it. She's been there for 3.5 years. They've had 3.5 years to fix the border. They've had 3.5 years to create jobs and all the things we talked about. Why hasn't she done it? She should leave right now, go down to that beautiful White House, go to the Capitol, get everyone together and do the things you want to do. But you haven't done it and you won't do it because you believe in things that the American people don't believe in. You believe in things like, we're not going to frack. We're not going to take fossil fuel. We're not going to do things that are going to make this country strong, whether you like it or not. Germany tried that, and within 1 year, they were back to building normal energy plants. We're not ready for it. We can't sacrifice our country for the sake of bad vision. But I just ask one simple question. Why didn't she do it? We're a failing nation. We're a nation that's in serious decline. We're being laughed at all over the world. All over the world, they're laughed. I know the leaders very well. They're coming to see me. They call me. We're laughed at all over the world. They don't understand what happened to us as a nation. We're not a leader. We don't have any idea what's going on. We have wars going on in the Middle East. We have wars going on with Russia and Ukraine. We're going to end up in a third world war, and it'll be a war like no other because of nuclear weapons, the power of weaponry. I rebuilt our entire military. She gave a lot of it away to the Taliban. She gave it to Afghanistan. What these people have done to our country, and maybe toughest of all, is allowing millions of people to come into our country. Many of them are criminals, and they're destroying our country. The worst president, the worst vice president in the history of our country.
President Trump, thank you. And that is...
Yeah, powerful stuff. I mean, it's obviously true. Again, I see the phone lines are already full, so we'll start going through these calls. Just as a final note, the bias that we saw, again, a couple of interesting things came up during the debate. Kamala Harris blamed COVID on a lab leak, which just went right past everybody, I guess. She just like dropped that in there randomly. It's like, well, okay. When Trump was saying it came from China, you were calling him racist and telling people to go hug a Chinese person. The Biden White House literally cooperated with social media companies to delete accounts that claimed COVID was a lab leak. And now you're just saying that, like we all know it's true. I mean, what, just imagine believing what the mainstream media said. Just imagine the whiplash you must get when something that they tell you is a dangerous, rotten conspiracy theory that makes you a bad person is actually totally true. Yeah, we researched it and yeah, it's absolutely true. Crazy. It's crazy that that just like dropped in there. Wild. Wild. And then as Riley Gaines on X puts it, not even 2 months ago, the former president was shot in the head in an assassination attempt and the moderators didn't bring it up once. You realize how deliberate and insane that is, right? And that's the thing. You've got question after question to Trump, which again are phrased as questions, but they're actually accusations. Things about January 6th or, you know, and the fact checking that should have been done about Kamala Harris claiming the good people on both sides and Trump, the Project 2025 hoax, like all the sort of stuff that she mentioned that's just blatantly false, but that they let her get away with. And then they would, you know, basically say like, well, you inspired an insurrection and almost killed everybody on January 6th. How do you respond to people who say you should be hung for your treason? You know, it's like the way that's phrased. And all you have to do is just imagine if it was equally biased from the other side. Just imagine if the questions that the debate moderators were asking were like, Kamala Harris, many people claim that you got your start in politics as a literal whore for Willie Brown and that you didn't deserve your position, but used sex to work your way up the ladder and cut in line to the top. How do you respond to that? Right? Can you imagine them asking her a question like that? No, they've never asked you, but they certainly asked Trump multiple questions sort of in that regard, right? Claims about some 30-year-old claim of a rape accusation, which is utterly absurd from an insane lady. Or if they'd asked, you know, Kamala Harris, you say that Trump causes division in this country, but the extreme rhetoric of the Democrats led to a assassination attempt that nearly killed Donald Trump. Do you take any responsibility for the inflamed passions that are happening right now? And do you want to send a message to your supporters that violence is not the answer and that, you know, democracy has to be the way you solve it? Like, never once would they ask. They didn't even ask about the assassination attempt, which it clearly should have been a question. But this is the type of thing, like, you just have to, you have to be able to imagine this. You have to be able to see it from both sides and go, these questions are accusations when they're put to Trump, and they never even remotely approach the same tone when it comes to Kamala Harris. And if they did, oh, the outrage would be deafening. It would be overwhelming if they were to ask a single question of Kamala Harris like the ones I just, you know, laid out. Totally absurd. All right. We're going to go out to your phone calls here on the other side of this short commercial break. I do want to remind you to go to InfoWarsStore.com, whether it's our daily shows, whether it's the breakdowns by our bombshell reporters at band.video, or whether it's the live coverage of these massive events of international importance. We only are able to be here on the air and in the fight because you go to InfoWarsStore.com. Your calls on the other side. Wild, Dave, John, Jefferson, Wilford, coming to you next. And keeping the lines open, so call in with your thoughts. Be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bodies is back in stock, and frankly, it's a miracle. It is a miracle that Bodies is back in stock because we didn't know whether or not we were ever going to be able to even order inventory again after some of the more recent court hearings. Now, InfoWars is still thriving, still alive, but in a very vulnerable position, a very precarious legal position right now. So we need you to support us as soon as possible by going to InfoWarsStore.com and purchasing any of our products, but especially Bodies, which is one of our flagship most popular products for good reason too, because this formula is amazing for anti-inflammatory support, flexibility support, joint support. I have specifically used Bodies to help with arthritis that I have in my right ankle, arthritis that I have in my left hand. This is an amazing anti-inflammatory supplement that is great for your joint health. And frankly, if Joe Biden was taking Bodies, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be walking around like a 2x4. I think he'd be walking around like a gymnast at this point. But obviously he's not taking it because he can barely go up the stairs. And if you're feeling a little stiff or a little disjointed, for lack of a better term, then please consider getting Bodies whole body support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Not only are you investing in your own health, your own anti-inflation, your own joint health, your own joint support, but you are keeping InfoWars on the air at this particularly precarious time in InfoWars history. Now, we know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that humanity itself is under attack, but we are going to stay on the air for as long as possible, and it's only possible because of your support at InfoWarsStore.com. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, invest in your own anti-inflammatory support, your own joint support, your own bodily health, while simultaneously keeping InfoWars on the air in this fight for humanity against the globalist New World Order leftist trash that we're faced with every single day. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Bodies today.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
Networks lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. We go directly out to your calls now in the order that they came in. Wild in Wisconsin says he has a suspicion about the condition of Kamala Harris. Go ahead, Wild. You're on the air.
Yeah, Owen last night was talking about Kamala's hard swallows and how she was swallowing a lot. And I always knew she was a swallower, but that's a different topic. But I think she was coked out. She was like Zelensky, because she was like grinding her teeth and really tweaking out. And especially after the break, she was touching her nose a bunch, you know, and she's from California and stuff. That's like their religion over there. And, you know, not racially, but I think she had like a really bad case of cotton mouth, you know. And
yeah, I know. I noticed that, too.
I don't know.
She seemed anxious, didn't she? Especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
She seemed like nervous. I don't know what it was. But look, if she's on something, it's higher grade than Coke. I'll tell you that. It's a industrial grade pharmaceutical of one sort or another. And we definitely know it's the cotton mouth for sure.
Yeah, I think she got some of that CIA cocaine, you know. Yes. And, you know, like when you do cocaine, it gets stuck in the back of your throat, for people that don't know, and then drips down. So I think she just had a bad drip, you know. And then also, you know, they were talking about inflation rate. They keep saying that it's like 20-30% for stuff, and grocery costs are up, you know, 20%. I don't know where they're getting this number, but since Trump, there's a lot of products that have gone up like 200-300%, you know. So I think the inflation is way worse than they're claiming. You know, here in Wisconsin, a stick of butter, even though we're the dairy state, a package of butter is like $8 nowadays, which is insane. I think if we have Kamala installed, that gas is going to go way up, because people don't understand that Ukraine has really not struck the infrastructure for gasoline and oil production in Russia, which is their major export. And if the Ukraine war vamps up by Kamala getting elected, obviously we're going to go to war with Russia. Yeah. They've kind of pre-programmed that, and gas is going to go through the roof. And on that same line, I don't think Putin is ever going to take a president with pink nail polish seriously.
Yeah. And, you know, that was one thing where Trump, again, you know, he brought it up, and he brought it up forcefully, and I'm glad he did. But I wish he'd been a little bit more, I don't know, maybe I'm just nitpicking, but he brought up World War III, and he brought up nuclear weapons, and he kept being like, this is serious. We're going to get into World War III with this lady, which, again, was a good point for him to make. I just don't know if people actually even understand the threats that we're under. I mean, you've got Russia almost weekly coming out and going, okay, we're moving the nuclear bombs closer to Europe. All right, we're changing our nuclear, you know, strategy to allow for first strike. If you keep pushing, you're playing with fire. That was the quote from last week. You're playing with fire. You're like a bunch of kids playing with fire. Don't push us any further. Like, he should have brought up just how serious the Russians are and what a danger that the administration is putting us in. So that was something that I give Trump kudos for. I just don't know if the average American even recognizes how serious this is. Thank you for the call, Wild. Dave in Arizona, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks. Great show, Mr. Harrison. So I can feel some of your frustration. We went to a great watch party, Jesse and I, last night, with a local radio station here, and it looked like it was a push to me. I think the one thing that could have tied it all together, and I have a contact with President Trump's inner circle, if he says these two words every time he starts an answer, inextricably linked. So the question is about housing. Okay, yep. Thank you, Mr. Muir. This question is inextricably linked to the illegal invaders, 30 million of them that she let in. The question is about housing. We have a housing crisis, inextricably linked to the 30 million illegal invaders, every single one of them. But I don't really think the debate was for us. For the normies. I think it was for us so that we could see it was 3-on-1. And I think that the lamestream media is positioning it now. Once President Biden pardons Hunter and then he quits, and Kamala pardons President Biden puppet, to say that the nation needs to move on to heal our great nightmare, the Gerald Ford Amendment. And then at that point, she'll be the first black woman president, according to the lamestream media. And they'll say on November 5th, we went into the voter booth, pulled the curtain back, and couldn't vote for a convicted felon over the first black woman president. We wanted to give her a full term. So I think it's all about positioning and messaging, and they have exactly what they needed. I've said this for over a year when they did all the indictments against him. Yep. It's all a narrative battle, but we 100%. See through it, fortunately. So we have to take back our language. We have to say that illegal invaders come across the border every day, and most of them, if they're not victims of rape, they're performing rape on other illegals. Mm-hmm. And we just need to hammer that home, that this is a crisis. And the biggest one, I think, is actually bigger than that, is the 100,000 fentanyl poisonings, mm-hmm. not deaths, poisonings through the CCP and the Mexican drug cartels. every day, every year for the last 3 years. That's the equivalent of 300 people, your fellow citizens, dying every day for 1,000 days straight. We don't scream that from the rooftops.
Right. And that's something that, Trump should have hit harder and, you know, really put on going, you are complicit in this. This is happening because you opened the border. You're the borders. I don't even think he called her the borders are. I don't know. Maybe I missed it. But, you know, he talks about her being responsible for the border. But I don't think ever once he was like, you're the borders are. It's entirely on you. The fentanyl deaths that Kamala Harris brought up, she brought up the fentanyl deaths. It's like, well, you're responsible for that, lady. So what the hell are you talking about? I think you're exactly right. Inextricably linked. It's a very good phrase. I'm sorry. I do want to go to other calls here. I want to get through as many as possible because, I mean, the lines are filling up as soon as we're dropping them. Thank you for the call, Dave. Appreciate it. Agree with you. John in Ontario. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey Harrison. How's it going? First up, thanks for the InfoWars Life Select Food. I bought it. And the UPS guy was literally rolling his eyes at me because there was so much of it as he unloaded it from the truck. And it was so cheap to ship it to me. I tried to get Canadian companies to ship food to me, and it was like they wouldn't do it. I was like, what? Anyways, thanks a lot for the products.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I think that the debate is kind of like a Rotten Tomatoes situation where you have a critic score and you have an audience score. Mm. And I think that the critic score is a lot more critical because, you know, people keep up with what's going on with politics. But for regular people, it's something that has to be tangible, right? And so what people see tangibly on the ground is not a good economy and not a good social situation with illegal immigration. And you can just look at, like, how weird, like, some of the policies she's talking about, a lot of money stuff, of course, that's always the big sell, like the first-time home buyers and the new families credit and the new businesses, you know, giving money to all these people. But those things don't really fall in line with her base, right? Like, a new family, well, what, is it even a liberal ideal to have new families? Like, why is she offering, you know, money for people who are having children? Or new businesses, I mean, that doesn't really appeal to the base. I think they've forgotten where the liberal platform was going. It was going in a universal income socialist kind of direction where we bring in continuous immigration like China and we allow abortion on demand. And that and all those ideals have been put aside. And just to illustrate, like here in Canada, how out of touch these people are, our Minister of Affairs just said, yesterday, Canadians don't want elections. We don't want, we just want the government to do what they do. And so I think they're just out of touch. And I think we shouldn't get out of touch because we're watching them.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. And I take everything you say. And all we can hope is that the reality is more important than the rhetoric. Because, and we'll show you a clip on the other side. Yeah, people just look around at their lives. They're not better off, they're worse off. The question is whether that matters more than the words that Kamala Harris says.
I do believe that we have a trifecta pandemic going on. We have monkeypox, of course, that they say it's coming. We have COVID, like the flirt virus of COVID right now. It's everywhere. People are calling me. People are getting sick. COVID, flu, bird flu, and all these other ones that they are talking about, those are RNA viruses. And because they are RNA viruses, they are sensitive to zinc. So zinc needs quercetin to enter the cell. I can't believe that in 2024, you're still in a position where you can get a serious disease from COVID, end up with COVID long symptoms, and possibly die. So please, just listen to me. Go on drstellamd.com, do a telemedicine appointment, get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet today. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. People call me to get them out of the hospital. And once you're in the hospital, we cannot help you. And also, with the hydroxychloroquine too, you can also get the zinc and quercetin. So my advice for people right now, for a family, if you want to like build defense for your family, is to get Covivites, to get the Pox Defense. And if you have children, get the Immunovites for children because it has zinc, it has elderberry. So this is what we're calling right now the trifecta family pack. So you get the immune defense for your family, you get your defense against pox, you get defense against, build your immunity against COVID, against bird flu and dengue and all these other RNA viruses. So my advice, please listen to me. go on our website, drstellamd.com. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. We have physicians licensed in, we have physicians that can prescribe in all 50 states, and we have pharmacies that will ship to all 50 states. So please, before something gets really crazy, get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet today. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. For monkeypox, bird flu, like I call the trifecta, pox, bird flu, and COVID, if you get pox defense and Covivites, that should help you. We have it on our website. If you also get, for, you know, some people take Covilite. Covilite is like our bestseller. I love it. I take it every day. If you get Covilite and pox defense, these two should be able to cover all the viruses. If you're taking Covivites, this is all you need. If you're the person that takes Covilite, you just need Covilite and this. This should be able to cover because it has quercetin, it has zinc, it has vitamin D. It has everything that you need to build your immunity. That is my cry. Don't wait till you get sick. We have a slew of other vitamins and everything on our website. We have medicinal herbs that can help deal with all kinds of stuff. So my job right now to the American people is to make sure that you're prepared, you're medically prepared. I've been saying it for a while that we're going to have a disruptive event, and it's coming. If you notice, these globalists, they want their agenda 2030. It's on track, or in their mind, it's on track. They want by 2025 for all of us to be digitalized. I said it from the beginning in 2020 that COVID was a Trojan horse for the vaccine. And the vaccine is Trojan horse. It's a Trojan horse for transhumanism, population control, genetic modification. I've said that over and over. And I think that right now in 2024, patriots, listen to me. Everybody should be aware of this. Like I said, if you can get quercetin, if you can get hydroxychloroquine, if you can get ivermectin from your doctor or from wherever, I am pretty much good with it. We put this together to help you, but I just want you to get it. Get it in your head that we are at a time when they want to destroy humanity. And because they're going to try to destroy humanity, we have to be prepared. Only those that are paranoid, that are prepared, would survive. So that is my pledge, and that is what we do. Your pledge is to make sure that you prepare you and your family. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount.
Back, folks, directly out to your calls. We're going to get to as many as possible. So if you can keep your comments as concise as you can, we'll go now to Jefferson in Virginia on line four. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to talk to you.
Good morning.
Did you notice the moment when they tried to bait Trump into the birther thing all over again with Obama and the racial aspect of whether she's black or Indian? You know, how many Americans think she's Cherokee? You know?
Yes, I did notice that. I mean, I thought it was one of Trump's most disappointing misses, frankly.
Yeah, well, I think he wasn't really trying to win last night. He just sort of showed up and just sort of let her have her thing. And he knew he was going to be overwhelmed with the three against one. And it was going to be sort of a mediocre night no matter what he did. So it was like, let's just leave her in the race for now so they can't replace her at this point. If he destroyed her last night, then they would have figured a way to switch her out. So I think he let her stick around.
I don't know. I'd feel differently about this if there was another debate, you know, and I don't think there's going to be one. But if, you know, there was already a planned second debate, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But considering this is probably the only debate that's going to happen, which is pathetic in and of itself. But it's like this was his one chance. He should have gone in there, you know, guns blazing. But you know, we got what we got. Thank you for the call, Jefferson. Let's go to Wilford Grimley in St. Louis. What's your comment on the debate?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Harrison. Yeah, that last caller, he's got an interesting theory. Maybe he just did a lackluster performance just to keep her in. You know, I thought he did fine. A couple of points, like people have said, that he kind of fell through were focusing on the race. And then, you know, the three-on-one, the mods were definitely trying to get Trump focused on the wrong things, and he took the bait. Other thing was bringing up the cats and dogs thing, which, is, you know, even if it is completely true, he knows that the mods are just going to say, oh, no, that's false, and then he knows that people are going to make clips of it the next day, so that, you know, it's not really worth mentioning at all.
Yeah, you know, I have a video, actually, of J.D. Vance responding to this after the debate. Guys, I just put it in the folder. I think I'll go to this here just because it ties in directly. And this was, I think, the correct way to bring this up and to talk about it. Because, again, you can bring up the dogs eating, you know, eating dogs and eating cats. You should bring that up. It'll get people's attention. They'll be like, what the hell is this? I got to look into it. They'll see it's true. But you got to tie it in. You got to go, this isn't just about the cats and dogs. It's about the utter destruction, the chaos that's been brought about by this immigration policy, and the willful, you know, hatred of the average American suffering under these policies while giving infinite giveaways to immigrants. So, like, I'm glad he brought it up, but he didn't tie it in. J.D. Vance did a very good job of tying this in. Let's go to that video now.
I would say is he brought up this misleading false claim that you yourself have talked about in recent days about Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, abducting people's pets and eating them, which officials there have said is not true. You yourself acknowledged it may be false on Twitter. You still told people to keep spreading it. But Trump just amplified it to tens of millions of people who were watching. Why push something that's not true?
Well, first of all, city officials have not said it's not true. They've said they don't have all the evidence.
They said they have no evidence.
We've heard from a number of constituents on the ground, Caitlin, who both firsthand and secondhand reports saying this stuff is happening. So they very clearly, meaning the people on the ground dealing with this, think that it is happening. And I think that it's important for journalists to actually get on the ground and uncover this stuff for themselves when you have a lot of people saying, my pets are being abducted, or geese at the city pond are being abducted and slaughtered right in front of us. This is crazy stuff. And again, whether those exact rumors turn out to be mostly true, somewhat true, whatever the case may be, Caitlin, this town has been ravaged by 20,000 migrants coming in. Healthcare costs are up. Housing costs are up. Communicable diseases like HIV and TB have skyrocketed in this small Ohio town. This is what Kamala Harris's border policies have done. And I think it's interesting, Caitlin, that the media didn't care about the carnage wrought by these policies until we turned it into a meme about cats. And that speaks to the media's failure to care about what's going on in these communities. If we have to meme about it to get the media to care, we're going to keep on doing it because the media should care about what's going on.
I saw you say.
Yeah, see, so that's the correct way to respond to that. And I wish Trump had said something similar there. So, again, it's not even necessarily about the cats and dogs. It's about the just massive, overwhelming support that migrants get while the natives around them suffer and wallow in hopelessness. It's a deliberate destruction of our country, not in a vague way, but in a very specific and well-organized way. Thank you for the call, Wilford. Let's go to we'll go to Joe in Arkansas now. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the air.
Yeah, Harrison. Hey, thank you for taking my call. So I think Trump missed out last night. I think he missed it. I think I don't even know why he. Why he agreed to go on that format. She, in my opinion, was probably given the questions beforehand. And I'm thinking for anybody who was on the fence last night, and I know my wife was watching it with a group of women who are all Trump supporters, but Trump didn't show up last night. It was his to win, and he didn't. That's bad because just as you said, there's not going to be another debate, I don't think. And for those who were not sure, I'm thinking they're going to vote for her. Not that I really think it matters. I think they were going to steal it anyways. But, yeah, I totally don't understand why he even agreed to.
Well, and again, you know, he brought stuff up that was good, but he didn't drive it home and he didn't make the case like he should have. Again, if it was a rally, like, fine, we're all on board, Trump. We know what you're talking about. So just, you know, mention it randomly. You know, he mentioned the fact that, you know, Kamala Harris didn't get any votes. But, like, really hammer that home. Like, how can you be the champion of democracy? You know, ask her outright, who voted for you? How many votes did you get to be on the stage tonight? where's your popular support? It doesn't exist because you don't care about democracy. Like, really drive it home, point it out, make it, you know, unavoidable, the outcome, the you know, result that you're talking about, what you want in people's minds. He just didn't do it. He just didn't do it, and it's upsetting. Thank you for the call, Joe. Let's go to Keith in Wisconsin now. Go ahead, Keith. You're on the air. There you will be. There you go, Keith.
Yep. Hey, Harrison. Hey, I don't think you're being nitpicky enough, actually. I think he did terrible. Mm. You know, they ask about the Project 25, and he goes off about how he's not involved. Well, then turn that back around and say, actually, I have a website. It's called Agenda 47. You can look up all my policies. Not to mention, I was already president for 4 years, and I have policies.
Yeah, not to mention, you don't have policies, Kamala. You just put up your policies, you know, 2 days ago. I mean, yeah, I'm right there with you. It was another, like, fastball over the middle of the plate, and he struck out. It's very pathetic, honestly.
Exactly. Every topic was like that. I'm shouting at the TV going, no, you got to answer it with some specific answers.
Yep.
Yeah, it was frustrating.
Very, very frustrating. And again, I mean, it's a double-edged sword of Trump. I mean, he's good on his feet. He never prepares, and that's worked really well for him in the past. But you know, it's been different this campaign. Maybe it's because he's so distracted from all of the lawsuits that he's in and fighting to stay free as they're trying to imprison him. I mean, you can't really blame him that much, but at the same time, where are the specifics? Where are the arguments that will sway independent voters? I really didn't hear any last night. And look, I wish that wasn't the case, but I'm just going to tell you the truth and what I really thought, and hopefully we get another debate, and hopefully Trump does better next time. We'll go quickly to Tony in Texas. Tony, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, you know, Trump, right out of the box last night, Trump should have turned to her and said, how in the hell are you even on this stage tonight, Kamala? Nobody's ever voted for you for a damn thing. I need you to turn to the camera and explain to the American people how you're standing there with zero votes. I can tell you how I got here. I got millions of votes. You got zero. You got some explaining to do. How did you do this?
Yep, that is exactly right. And, you know, I even said that before the debate during the pregame stuff. I was saying I was hoping he was going to do something like that. That's what he did to Rand Paul, you know, in 2016. He's going, how are you even up here? You only have 11%. You shouldn't even be on this stage. There's too many people on this stage. Why didn't he go after Kamala like that? I really don't know. It's it was disappointing. It was disappointing to me. And that's unfortunate. That's about going to be all the calls that we're going to be able to take, because we are going to be joined by Dr. Stella Emanuel in the next hour. We're going to play a quick little 5-minute video here on the other side. Stay with us. InfoWarsStore.com is where you go to support everything that we do here, which is tell you the truth, folks. That's the only argument we have here. We're not going to pander to you. We're not going to lie to you. We're going to tell you the truth, even if we'd rather the truth be different. And if that's not something that you can support, then don't worry about it. But if you want people to tell you the truth, go to InfoWarsStore.com, and we'll be right back.
Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why, then, are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like, if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce, right? So this is why
they've
central
got so many quadrillions of fake money. There's not there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh. So silver, historically, the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all-time highs, silver does better than gold. So silver grows faster. And there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy, the industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
No, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.